And say praise the Lord. Praise God. Our world is seething and it is convulsing and it is full of prophetic fulfillment right now. It is a wonderful day to be a part of the kingdom of the living God. Great day to be alive in God. And you shouldn't fear when you see these things come to pass, but you should look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. We know that trouble is coming, but we don't bemoan the trouble because we believe revival is moving also. And we know that sin is so prevalent on every hand, but that's nothing new. It's always been that way in the world. But where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And we're not worried about the darkness enveloping the earth, because as long as the light of God is in the world, we're not worried about that, because there's light. In all of Egypt, there was darkness so thick they could feel it. They couldn't even light a candle. But in the house of God's people, there was light. And that's the way it is today. So we give God thanks for that. And we just want to get a hold of our neighbors and friends and bring them into the light of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's read. We're still in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're making our way through Paul's salutation, talking about sustaining God's community and his culture and continuing to enjoy its benefits. God brings his own culture, and it's not like the dominant Egyptian culture outside. It's those two are like oil and water. And so we don't want to be defined by what's happening in Hollywood or on the street outside or in the current trends or current events outside, but rather we are defined and determined by the Word of God and by our relationship with a God that loved us so much. He stepped down out of glory, robed himself in flesh, and bore our sins on his cross. Praise God. So God's given us a community, the community of his people. It is his body. It is, we are builded together to be a habitation for God, both collectively and individually. And here Paul is giving the church at Thessalonica some things that are just primary to remaining the community and the culture of God. And we've made our way through some of them. And we're going to move on today into verse 18. And everyone say, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Turn to somebody by you and tell them, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I hear from people all the time that are searching and wondering and being tortured over the will of God for their life. The will of God is relatively simple. Do what you know to do right now. Do what you know God wants you to do right now. But here we get a refinement of that. Paul tells you, the will of God for you right now is to give God thanks right where you are. But I'm in a storm, give God thanks in the storm. I'm in trouble, give God thanks in trouble. God bless you. You can be seated, and as you are, give God thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we worship you, and we lift you up and magnify you. He said, in everything, give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesyings. 21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. If you'll do these things, God's going to work in you body, soul, and spirit. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This thing that God has given us, this thing that he does in us, it is holistic. It affects every area of our lives. It affects everything that I am and everything that I do. We are not part-time in our involvement in the kingdom of God. We do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This thing works on a Friday night. This thing works, and it's alive, and it's good every day of the week. So we're going to make our way through this as far as time will allow today. So verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Now, giving thanks, and we've moved in this area before, so this will be kind of a recap, and then we'll move on. But David said, Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody lift up your voice and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Turn to a neighbor by you and tell him, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. So, you know, if you get a hold of this, there's no room for griping and complaining and mourning and fault finding and criticism and all. There's not room for that because you got to praise God at all times. His praise has to continually be in your mouth. That's right. So it's for all seasons. It's in every season. When you're young, when you're married, when you're divorced, when you're old and your body's wearing out. In every season, we praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, and later David will say in Psalms 50, and this verse has the connotation of sacrifice and the language of sacrifice. Psalms 50 in verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And so the word offer lends itself to the idea of sacrifice. When you give God thanks and give God praise on a good day and everything is fine and everyone is well, that's good and it's powerful. It's a wonderful thing to give God praise. But even when it is painful to give God praise, he's still worthy. And we give him thanks. We thank him for the day, even when it's a day that is trying us at every turn and it's painful and we're having trouble in our lives, then we still give God praise and magnify him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we offer up what the New Testament writer would call the sacrifice of praise. We lift it up to God and we give God thanks. We pay our vows unto God. Offer God thanksgiving. And so being thankful is a part of the community and the culture of God's people. It is not a part of the community and culture of the Egyptian world outside. But we are a thankful people. We are by nature, organically, the Holy Ghost makes you thankful. And then if you don't have that skill set, then it is like any other skill set. You can learn to be thankful. But you've got to replace. Now, I'll just tell you, coming, and we've had this conversation, but here it is again. You can come out of Egypt physically as Israel did. But the proposition is that being powerful is not the end of the process. I've got to get Egypt out of me. And so I can come in the house of God, and that's powerful. And I'm glad you're here today. And if you've already been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm so excited about that. If you've been born again of the Spirit, God filled you with His Holy Ghost, and you spoke in tongues, I'm excited about that. But let me tell you this, there are strongholds in your mind and in your spirit that you learned while you were walking in the world. And now you're sitting in the house of God, and the Holy Ghost will meddle with you. He won't leave you alone. He's going to dig in there, and those things are going to come up. But let me tell you, it is God's culture to be thankful. Now, you may be a crotchety, ornery person out in the world, but when you come into the house of God, you got to learn how to be thankful. You've got to learn how to be a person of praise and be thankful to those in your home and be thankful. Common courtesies to those in your home. You ought to be thankful to everybody in your house. Praise God. You say, well, that's not being thankful to God. Well, you know how it works with God. He says, here's the first two commandments. Love God and then love people. Those are the first two commandments. Upon those hang all the law and the prophets. So it's easy, Jesus says, to say, I love God, because God doesn't bug you and God's not here trying you and testing you every minute of the day. But he said, I'll know you love me if you love your wife. I'll know you love me if you love your husband. He said it's easy to say I love God, who you don't see, but you don't love your brother that you can see. He's offering that you might explore that for the logic of it and understand that if you say you love God, but you don't love people, you're lying. You're insulating yourself. But here's where we live it out. We live it out on the horizontal. We serve God in the vertical. That creates a cross, and we are caught. We are as Christ taking up our cross. We are caught in the tension of that intersection between things heavenly and things earthly. And I don't want to love you, and I don't want to forgive you, and I don't want to be thankful to you. But he says he died for you, so I have to love you, and I have to forgive you. And it causes me pain, because I'm just naturally not like that. You know, because of what you've done or where you've been, I might want to jack your jaw instead of say, thank you. But I got to be, thank you, Lord, for my brother. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of your church. Thank you, Lord, for your people, except her. No, I can't do it. I got to thank you, Lord, for all your people, all those that you died for, all those that you are the redeemer of. I give you thanks and I praise you for it, mighty God. And I thank you for my wife, and I thank you for my babies, and I thank you for crazy teenagers. And you see how it is. But I will bless the Lord at all times. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Praise God. So access to God then is based on your capacity for thankfulness. You understand that if you come before the presence of God and it is solely and exclusively to get him to fix your problem, to make your heart feel better, to pay your bills, to take care of all your natural needs or your internal struggle, you will never get into the presence of God. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And what that says is that you think God is bigger and more important than your problem. Because if you come with your problem as primary in your approach to God, you need to understand that he's not interested in your problem being primary. He's interested in God being primary in your life. And so whatever condition you're in, whatever pain you're in, whatever trouble you're having, can I suggest that that's going to be there after you're done doing business with God? Set it to the side. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. And in doing so, say, I believe you, God. You are bigger than my mountain. You're bigger than my trouble. You're my healer. Just come thanking him and praising him. And then let God begin to work on your problem or your trouble or the pain in your life. Praise God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Psalms 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, you may not have what you need in the natural realm, but you don't give thanks to God based on the fact that your bills are paid and you have everything you need in a pain-free existence here. You give thanks to God because he is good and because his mercy endures forever. Now, if you believe that, you ought to give him thanks right now. And you ought to praise him. And that ought to loom larger than the transient natural problems that you might have in your life right now. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's just give God thanks right now. You ought to be able to give God thanks. Hallelujah. I give you thanks, oh God, and I praise you, mighty God, and I worship you, Lord God, and you're a good God, and your mercy endures forever. I thank you for the blood that you shed, and I thank you for the cross that you bore, and I thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh God, and I thank you for air to breathe and the liberty in my body today, and I thank you that I'm able to be in the house of God, and I thank you for your word that never changes. It's forever settled in the heavens, and I thank you for the mighty name of Jesus, name above every name, the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. I thank you for the strong tower that your name is, and the righteous run in and are saved. I thank you, Lord God, for your people. I praise you for your church. I thank you for letting me be a part and for letting me in. My God, you could thank God all day long and twice on Sunday, and you will not exhaust all the reasons why a man or a woman ought to give thanks unto God. Oh, give thanks unto God. I will give thanks unto God, for he is good. Why are you doing that? Why are you worship like that? Why are you always at the house of God? Because God is good and because his mercies endure forever. I don't know about you. You may not have needed mercy, but I needed a lot of mercy, and I need mercy right now. And I'm glad that the word of God said his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now it's a blanket boilerplate. It covers everybody. I want to give thanks to God because he gives us the victory. The old timers used to ask, you got the victory? And you better tell them yes. Because they'll tell you, if it's otherwise, they'll just say, you just need to pray through. Because they knew that if you got close to God, you would have the victory, that the victory is already. Do you know he's already won the victory? That it's not in question right now. He already won the victory. Do you understand that he already in his looking at you, he's already shepherding you through the pearly gates. He can see you all the way to the finish line. You need to understand everything you need has been prepared from the foundation of the earth. Everything you need is already in the house today. Everything. No, you don't believe me. Everything you need has been prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, he's made all that available. And so you may be struggling right now, but it doesn't matter. I know I'm going to win. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can knock me down 7 times, but if I know I'm going to beat you, I'm going to get up every time. I'm going to make you earn it. You may hurt me, but I already read the back of the book. I know how this thing's going to end. And when John said he saw a multitude around the throne of God and it was innumerable, I am in that picture. If I could roll that out for you right now, I'd show you right here where I am. It's kind of hard. It's like one of those gigantic hundreds of people's pictures. And you look like a little microscopic dot. But there I am. I am right there. My bald head gleaming in heaven's glow. Unless you get your hair back in heaven, I don't know. Hairless or with, I'm there. Because he's already given us the victory. All I've got to do is pick him up and put him down. All I've got to do is show up for duty. All I've got to do is say, yes, Lord, he's already won the victory. Do you know he's already overcome principalities and powers? He's overthrown all the power of the enemy. Your destiny is not in question unless you question it. Unless you just retreat or you just say, I've had it, or you don't want to take the next step. But if you stay with the process and the program, God's going to get you there. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about salvation. Thanks be to God. I want to give God thanks for everything he's done for us. If you have the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, let's give God praise and thanks for redemption right now for his unspeakable gift. Words fail to describe this. So good. So wonderful. Praise God. And I want to explore this because a few studies ago, we kind of ran through this, but I think it bears looking at again. There are a multitude of current studies, recent studies on thankfulness, on having a thankful heart, on being grateful or having an attitude of gratitude, and how it affects your quality of life. Isn't that amazing how the Bible has all the answers to all of that? Here are a list of things that are associated with being thankful or having gratitude as an anchoring quality in your personality. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you win new friends. Do you know there's a social component to being thankful and to being grateful? And that should be something that you're interested in, because we're supposed to be the light of the world. But, you know, if you got a frown and a grouch going on all day, every day, on the job and in your house, nobody wants that. Oh, man, I want to go to church with him. It's like Ebenezer Scrooge. That's really who I want to hang out with. And so just, it makes you more gregarious. It causes you to be more attractive, and God put you in your present situation to attract people to the kingdom of God. You need to, that old song, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. And people would say, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. And they were no more happy than the man in the moon. Number two, gratitude improves physical health. Being thankful, just saying thank you. Smiling improves your appearance. Did you know that? When you get the Holy Ghost, you look better. Gratitude improves physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people, according to a 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. They exercise more often, more likely to attend regular checkups with their doctors, which is likely to contribute to further longevity. They're just seeing all sorts of good indicators in the lives of people that are thankful. They live better. Number three, gratitude improves psychological health. Being thankful, and believe me, we could use it. Would you like to have better psychological health? Well, being thankful, just start saying thank you. Thank you, Lord. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions. Well, that you understand that. Anger releases all sorts of deadly toxins in your bloodstream. And releases all sorts of things that work against the finely tuned motor that God gave you in your body. So you weren't designed to run on anger and venom and vengeance and all of those things. You should just have a thankful heart. It makes you healthier. Praise God. Envy, resentment, frustration, regret, all of those things are by studies found to be toxic. Robert Emmons, PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted, isn't it amazing they have researchers on gratitude? All they need to do is come to church. But I guess then it depends on who they sit by in church. He's a leading graduate, a gratitude researcher. He's conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I'm thoroughly convinced if you got the blues, if you were really feeling depressed, you may, out on the far end of the continuum, you may have some physiological problems. You may have some deep-seated problems that need addressing in some way. But for the most of us, if you'll just be good to somebody, make somebody a cake, give thanks to God, start being thankful, and quit focusing on yourself and your loss, and you become the center of your universe. If you'll just quit that, you'll do better. You'll feel better. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. You're not the mad, angry, vindictive person when you're grateful. Grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner, even when others behave less kind, according to a 2012 study by University of Kentucky. Study participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others. Even when given negative feedback, they experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and a decreased desire to see. It sounds like they're doing unto others as they would have others do unto them. And it springs out of a thankful heart. Now, these folks are isolating this, but this is a natural or organic component to the Holy Ghost and the Word of God taking up residence in your life. And these guys are researching it, and they're finding out that it has real-life impact and real-life implications. Grateful people sleep better. You've been tossing and turning? You need to be thankful. Writing in a graduate journal, writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study published in Applied Psychology. Health and well-being, spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you'll get to sleep better. Oh my goodness, what a novel idea. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will give thanks to God at all times. Praise God. Gratitude improves self-esteem. When you're thankful to others, when you're grouchy and crotchety, generally that is a signal or it's symptomatic of problems with self-esteem. You have some internal problems and you take it out on other people. So when you're grumpy and grouchy with everybody, it's because you're not happy with you. So being thankful is a good beginning to getting better concerning those issues. Number seven, gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown that gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. Optimistic people, thankful people, they recover better. Your body heals better. Isn't that incredible? A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Isn't that incredible? Praise God. So, we want to be thankful. And we want to give God praise. It is pleasing to God. It is organic to our experience in God. But it is also effective in helping us enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. We're talking about continuing the culture and the community of God, sustaining that and enjoying the benefits of it. And being thankful causes you to be able to enjoy the benefits of it. Being in church and being miserable is such an ironic condition to be in. And it's not something that you're fated to be. It's not the will of God for you to be in the house of God and be miserable. And I didn't say leave the house of God. Because believe me, if you're miserable in the house of God, you can be miserable in the world. You really are. The world doesn't have anything to fix what's going on inside of you. Not ultimate questions, not ultimate issues. They don't have, but I mean, you can self-medicate with alcohol, you know, or drugs or something like that. But you do that, you're going to feel bad in the morning, and all your bag of snakes in your head are going to come back alive as soon as you sober up. So you know how that is. You got snakes in your head? You need the Holy Ghost. You need to be born again. You need God to work on you. You say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I still got problems. Well, you just need to get closer to God. And one of the things you do is develop these things. Remember, you can come out of Egypt, but it only is as effective as your being able to get Egypt out of you. Come to the house of God. Get the standard entry-level experience of being born again of the water and of the Spirit. But then there is a process that you have to involve yourself in. And that process never ends. And God is making you better. And he's rooting out things that are not like him. But it's not the will of God for you to sit in the house of God unresolved and still all complicated with the things that hounded you as a young person or as a child. It's the will of God for you to get healing in your head and in your heart and in your spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. Is there anybody in here that God's healed your brain and healed your heart? And we sing songs about that. He's the heart fixer and the mind regulator. He's the burden bearer, the great emancipator. Well, he's all of those things. He will really do that for you. So Paul's advice, Ephesians 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't self-medicate with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. You need to come into the house of God and say, if nobody's going to have a move of God today, I am. If nobody's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost today, I am. And if nobody's going to drink deeply of the springs of living water today, I am. You need to make up your mind. Don't think you're going to ride on somebody else's coattails, but rather come into the house of God and by thanksgiving, make your way into the presence of God. And once in the presence of God, anything is possible. And all of God's promises are yes, and they are amen. Somebody that believes it, clap your hands, lift up your voice to him. Don't be drinking at the world's bar. Come on in and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And listen to what Paul says that will cause when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. When you get the Holy Ghost and you lay your sins down at an altar, you have a real experience with the cross. God washes your sins away. It puts a song in your heart. David said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and he established my goings and he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. Is there anybody in the house that God found you in a pit and he picked you up out of the miry clay and he set your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, and he put a new song in your heart? Now you got to stop singing the blues and you've got to stop singing the world's song and you got to stop singing the song of all the trouble I've seen and all the trouble I have, but you got to learn how to be thankful unto God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. You got to learn a new song of thankfulness and gratitude and praise and magnifying God and being kind to people. That's a new song. A new song. I know how it is in the world. The world's a rough place, a rough neighborhood, and you get bark on to preserve yourself and to defend yourself. And in a neighborhood like that, you got to be rough and you've got to be strong and you stare people down and you don't have to give an inch to anybody. And if you show weakness, they'll take advantage of you and they've hurt you and abused you and done wrong to you. And so you just get hard because you're not going to get hurt again. Well, that doesn't serve you. in the house of God. The posture of coming to God is the posture of the cross. It's totally vulnerable. God, I hope you know what you're doing. Somebody's going to get me. They're going to get me because I'm vulnerable now because I've come to live for you. What do you mean I can't hit them back? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So he said, do good to those that hate you. He said, give them water when they're thirsty. Give them food when they're hungry. He said, it is like heaping coals of fire upon their head. Now, if you think that means you're sharing coals from one neighbor to another, that's not what that is about. That's what the commentary will tell you. That's about you do it God's way, and God will make hell hotter for them if they don't respond. I can deal with that. God's going to handle it. But it makes you feel really vulnerable. But you can't be all hard and barky and mean and rough and to defend yourself. You got to be open, and you got to be kind, and you got to be vulnerable, and you love people again, and you get hurt, and you just keep on loving people again, because that's what Jesus did. That's what God has done, for God so loved the world that he gave, and he just keeps on giving, and they punched him in the mouth, and he said, Father, forgive them, and they went and sold him for a bag of silver, and he kissed him on the cheek and said, hello, friend, and he washed their feet at the last. You see how it is? He just loved them and forgave them and was kind to them, and he's going to give them his very best shot, because listen, we're going to live forever with God in heaven, and all this is just going to be a blur, and none of it's going to mean much at all. It's going to be a dim memory. All the pain you suffer here just going to be just some distant rumble in the past. It's not going to mean that much to you, but we're going to live in heaven forever. That's a long time, and they're going to be in hell forever, and that's a long time. So we walk with empathy and with compassion and we walk with love, because that's how God's raised us up to be his people. When you do that, you have less of all of the pathology that's associated with walking in the world. You have less of all of the issues that they walk with, and you have fewer of all of the troubles that they have. You walk through the same places, but you walk through them with a kind of a glib attitude of, you know, God's got this. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to go to sleep, and God's going to handle it all. You understand? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I give thanks to God, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Praise God. Being kind. So you can't really effectively live for God and be a grouch and a grump. You got to get that straight, you know? You got to learn to be sweet. Now, you think about some people, that seems like a contradiction between them presently and them being sweet, but you really have to learn how to do that. Don't look to the left or the right. Praise God. So Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're going to segue into the next verse here. That was verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is verse 19. And everyone say, quench not the Spirit. That's a funny word. It has to do with, if you would cup a candle, you would quench the flame. You would put it out. You would drink and quench your thirst. Put it out or satisfy it. But when he's saying quench not the Spirit, he's talking about the moving of the Spirit of God and the fact that you need to let God have liberty in your life. You need to let God have full range and full decision-making power. You need to let God move in your life. Quench not the Spirit. When there's a moving of the Spirit of God, you need to be responsive to it. When God begins to move in your life, you need to say, yes, Lord. When God begins to challenge the structures in your head and in your heart, the old framing that has to go, the strongholds that work against the kingdom of God, you need to say, yes, God, and you need to let him do his work and let him move in your life. Praise God. So we're going to do an overview here in Romans chapter 8. You okay? Romans chapter 8 is all about the Holy Ghost and living with the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the new law, you know, you hear people, you talk to them about the gospel, and they'll want to tell you, oh, no, no, that was under the law. That was under the, and what they mean is under the law of Moses. And what they mean to intimate is that there is no law in the New Testament era. But they've got grits where they ought to have brains, because there is no system of God's kingdom that is lawless. And so here we are introduced to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is nonetheless a law, and you better be about the business of finding out what the statutes of that law might be and how they affect you. But the Spirit of the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. I need to have interaction with the Spirit of God. I need to be filled up and overflowing with the Spirit of God, because that, in terms of this specific statement, frees me from the law of sin and death. So the more accustomed I get to the Spirit, the more filled I am with the Spirit, the more responsive I am to the Spirit, the greater distance I build between myself and the law of sin and death. And I want to be separated from that. I want to create some distance between me and the law of sin and death. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't resist the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God move in your life. Let it come in your house. Let him wake you up in the middle of the night. Let him move on you in the house of God. Let him move on you when you're in prayer and when you're in the reading of the Word of God. Sometimes you'll feel it like an emotional response. If that happens, let that response come up in your life. Well, I'm a man and I don't weep. Well, you better learn to weep. Quench not the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God move in you. Let the Spirit of God teach you and take you places where you've never been before. If you're carnally minded, you're going to die. But if you're spiritually minded, you'll find life and you'll find peace. Verse 9, and this is a tutorial on living in the Holy Ghost. The asterisk by this is simply, this is written to a church at Corinth, or rather at Rome. And the Roman church is receiving mail for the church. Now, if you want to know how they became the church, you have to go back to the book of Acts and see how the church was born. Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, and chapter 19, everybody that was born into the church repented of their sins, were born again of water in the name of Jesus in baptism, and then they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and all of them spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now, we are now writing to a church that already has been born of the water and of the Spirit. And this is, but he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if be so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So, if you're not born of the Spirit, you're still in the flesh, and there's nothing to do. The flesh can't please God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is one of the most emphatic statements of essentiality of the need and the essentiality of receiving the Holy Ghost that you're going to find in the Word of God. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. You don't belong to God. You may be a good person. You may love God at some level. You may be faithful in attendance at some type of church, but the Scripture is very plain. Jesus said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And here, if you're not born of the Spirit, if you're not born of the Spirit, you don't belong to God. So the Holy Ghost is not optional. You better get about the business of getting the Holy Ghost or finding out how to get the Holy Ghost. So, okay, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, or by Spirit, you know, he didn't come like a little body, like the Mardi Gras king cake that they make down in New Orleans. You know, you don't have a little plastic Jesus down inside you somewhere. God is a Spirit, John 4 and 24. When he comes to you, he comes to you by Spirit. He fills you like a vessel, and you are filled with his Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit. They are one in the same. Ephesians 4, there's one Spirit. Here, it's the Spirit of Christ. They are one in the same. There is one Spirit. Everybody say one Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Your body's dead. You're not going to go to heaven in this body. This body has to be changed. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so you're dead on the outside, but now you're alive on the inside because you've got the Holy Ghost. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. There's not a thing in the world you can do about it. If God tarries, there's none of us going to get out of here alive. Everybody's going to go down to the graveyard. Everybody's going to go in the box, and dust is going to return to dust. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, this is as good as it ever will get for you. But there's a promise here in the Word of God. But you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost, can I suggest to you that you not quench the Spirit of God? Let God move on your heart today. Let God draw you. Let God fill you. Let God change you. But here's the promise, verse 11. The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He's going to raise up your mortal body. Anybody interested in that great getting up morning, that resurrection day when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him? That only works with the Holy Ghost. You don't have a ticket to the rapture without the Holy Ghost. If you're in the grave, you don't have a ticket to the resurrection without the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is resurrection power. Can I suggest to you, it is folly for you to resist the Holy Ghost. Sit in the house of God and hold on to the back of a chair. Fold your arms or resist what God is doing. Let God talk to you. Let God draw you. Let God move you, and let God fill you with his Spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say quench not the Spirit. Touch your neighbor and say let God move. Quench not the Spirit. Come on, somebody say let God have his way. There's all kinds of expressions we make about that. Inside baseball, inside the church, we know what we mean by that. Well, just let God move. We had a move of God. We understood. The scripture said it was in that first instance in the day of Pentecost. It was like a rushing mighty wind. The scripture said it spoke to the prophet in the Old Testament like a still small voice. The scripture says it draws you to repentance. It's the goodness of God. Praise God. The scripture says it leads you and guides you into all understanding, all knowledge, spiritually born, spiritually given. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost move on you. Well, I'm afraid of what I'll do. Oh, no, honey, don't worry about that. You're not going to do anything anybody else hadn't already done. So I just feel like I want to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Well, somebody already said that. And that's exactly how it feels when the Holy Ghost really starts moving. But don't quench the Holy Ghost. Let him have his way. If he says speak, speak. If he says sing, sing. If he says leap, leap. If he says run, run. But don't quench the Holy Ghost. Let God, there's no telling. Like in the midst of it, there may be a miracle. Simple instructions to a king, a young king, by an old dying prophet. He said, I want you to take these arrows and I want you to beat them on the ground. And the young man didn't understand the connection. He didn't understand the power of it. And so he just tapped on the ground a few times. And the old man was furious with him because he said, that was the deliverance of God in your hand against your enemies. He said, now you're just going to destroy them. You're just going to defeat them three times. You're not going to totally consume them. He had no idea that in his hand, he held power over his enemies forever. You know, it can be just as simple as, I want you to dance. I just want you to dance today. And you hear that in your mind and in your spirit. But you're like, well, I'm not really a dancer. Or I don't really do that. Or I'm not comfortable with that yet. If God says dance, if God says move, if God says stand, if God says go to the altar, you need to do those things. Because sometimes in a service, it's just a training ground for what God's going to do with you out there. He's going to send you to a Cornelius, or he's going to lead you to a demoniac or Gadara. He's going to walk you into a miracle, but you've got to have the training to know when it's God that's speaking. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Let him talk to you. Let him draw you. You never know what miracle you might be holding in your hand. You never know, because it makes no rational sense at all. Praise God. Verse 14, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're not hearing from the Holy Ghost and you're not being led of the Spirit of God, there is a question in this verse as to whether or not you are the sons of God. It is simply tantamount one to the other. Being led is being the son of God. You hear from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. This is like dada or some juvenile, little tiny baby response to their dad. Abba. It's like dada. We cry that out unto him. We've been adopted into the kingdom by the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the spirit. God wants to adopt you. And I feel it moving on me when I'm at church, but I don't know how to act and I don't know what to do. And it's all new to me. Don't quench. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. God's coming to tap on your heart's door and say, hey, I want you to come and be a part of my family. I want to adopt you. You may be a lonesome loner, but God wants to draw you into his kingdom and he wants to become your father. And he wants the church to become your family. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You've not received the spirit of bondage again and to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. And the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Don't quench the spirit. Don't resist the spirit of God. Praise God. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You need to have a free flow of the Holy Ghost in your life. You need to be spontaneous and instantaneous in your response to God, because God helps you pray. God helps you know what to pray for. And when you don't know what to pray, you shift gears and you start praying in the Spirit, and God will pray prayers that are exactly the will of God for your life. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Quench not the Spirit. You say, well, I want that kind of prayer life. I want that kind of move. I want those miracles in my life. I want God to descend in my... But you know, you got to understand, God will build you in your spiritual sensitivity, line on line, precept on precept, step by step, baby steps. God will move on you and see how you respond. He'll lead you and see if you say yes. You have to learn how to walk with God. God will walk with you and deal with you in these services and in your prayer meetings, but you really need to respond to God. Praise God. Some people make a lifestyle out of resisting God. I want to talk to you right now and tell you, heaven is real. Hell is real. This life is transient. It is passing. We are like the grass. Our works are like the flower of the grass. We are hewn down and cast into the oven. We don't last. We are on a timer. I wouldn't even tell you that we'll all live to see tomorrow morning. It's that tenuous. It's that dicey. I don't have any idea. How can you justify sitting in his presence and resisting the moving of his spirit? Somebody in this house needs to repent of your sins this morning, but you're resistant to that because you're thinking about all the things that have to happen and all the things that will cause and all the things that will undo and some things that you'll have to say to maybe some people, or I don't know what all is involved, but you're worried about the details. You're choking on the details, and the Holy Ghost is pulling on your heartstrings right now. But you need to repent of your sins, but you're thinking about all the details, like what all is going to be entailed in that as the days unfold. Don't worry about the details. Let God handle the minutia. Let him handle the details. You just don't quench the spirit. Listen to me. Oh, if you're feeling anything in the Holy Ghost right now, it is the blessing of God. It's a miraculous thing. It is the grace of God. It is a wonderful thing. I'll tell you this. It is the most horrifying thing in the world to consider being in a barren wasteland with a whistling wind and demonic presence, and I can't hear from God. And God is not talking to me, and God is not pulling on me. You don't have a guarantee that he's going to knock on your door one more day. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the Spirit. Somebody needs to say yes to God today. Somebody needs to say, yes, I want you in my home. I want you in my business. I want you in my life. I want you in my relationships. You got deals going on right now. You don't want to sit on the side. But friend of mine, that deal's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do you any good in hell. It's not going to help you in life. Don't you understand? God knows what you need. God knows what's best for you. God is going to do good to you, and you're going to like the results. You're going to like what God does in your life. It's going to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. What you're doing right now just makes you angrier and more crotchety and more ornery. Can't you see God's ways are better than your ways? There's a way that seems right. It's not a good way. Praise God. I'd like for us just to respond to the Holy Ghost right now. Whatever God's talking to you about, whatever God's telling you, you need to say yes to God. When we come in the house like this, it needs to be all in one mind and one accord. Everybody needs to be saying yes to God. You don't need to be fighting little individual battles and struggles about what should I do or how should I do it. You just need to say yes to God. God, I'm going to put this in your hands. God, I'm going to let you handle this. Lord, I want you to be the captain here. I want you to pilot everything that my life is doing. I want you to be the mover and the driver of all that I am and all that I do. Oh, God. God, I want to say yes to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you just go ahead and pray? Some of you just go ahead and begin to pray from the depth of your spirit this morning. Praise God, praise God, glory to God. Somebody begin to give God thanks and to magnify him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody send up some vapor and cause it to rain in this house today. What goes up determines what comes down. Go ahead and do that right now. I love you, Jesus. I bless your name, oh God. I praise you, Lord. I worship you. I need you, Lord. I need you. Mighty God, somebody struggling with holiness today, but do you know the word of God is very clear? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to resolve this today. You just need to resolve this today. You just need to come down to an altar and tell God, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to live that way. I'm going to follow the precepts of your word. I'm going to let God handle the details. And I'm just going to say yes to that. Is the heart and the essence of don't quench the Holy Ghost. Let God have his way. You know, the word of God is the spirit of God come to you in printed form. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When you see the word of God and you say, well, I just don't want to go all the way and I don't want to be totally given to God, you're quenching the spirit of God because God's leading you by his word, and his word is spirit and his word is truth. And you need to say yes today to God. You need to say yes today to God. If it's financial, you need to say yes today to God and let God pick up the pieces and let God handle the details. If it's relational, you need to come on and say yes to God and let God handle all the details. Well, this thing's so messed up, I don't know how to fix it. Well, God can fix it. But the Holy Ghost is calling you right now. The Holy Ghost is calling you right now. You need to hear, and you don't need to quench the Spirit of God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna just open the altar. Let's just continue to pray. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, come on to this altar right now. Come on and resolve the issue. Resolve the old thing. Resolve the thing that you've struggled with. Come on and say yes to God and let God handle all the details. Come on and say yes to God. Yes, I want to be used of you, God. Yes, I want to be used of you. I want to walk, God, in your ways. I want to say yes to your word. Hallelujah. 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 Quench not the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let that Holy Ghost talk to you. Let that Holy Ghost move. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
I'll say yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Say yes. That's all you gotta do is just say yes. Hallelujah. Come on, we're gonna have a great move of God. God's going to do wonderful things here. We're having revival, but we don't want to leave you behind. God doesn't want to leave you behind. Say yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, yes. Say yes.
We say yes.
Hallelujah. My God, he's a potter, we're the clay. Say yes. Press on into this. The Holy Ghost is doing a work here right now. Say yes.